This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. One of the big stories right now, of course, is the quorum-busting Texas Democrats, lawmakers who have left the state of Texas in order to block the passage of a gerrymandered congressional map for the state of Texas that would give the Republican Party five additional seats in Congress after the midterms. This is something that President Donald Trump ordered Texas to do. He told Governor Greg Abbott to get this done, and it is happening right now. But this is not the only thing that apparently the Trump administration is working on in order to undermine the next election. That's according to the Brenham Center for Justice. We're joined by Sean Morales-Doyle, director of the Brenham Center's Voting Rights and Election Program. And Sean, welcome to The Source, and happy anniversary of the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, happy anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's just start off with the Voting Rights Act. You know, it's not in the shape it was when it was first signed, is it?
No, it is not. Unfortunately, fortunately, the Voting Rights Act was actually amended a few times after 1965 to improve it. But unfortunately, more recently, the act has been damaged a number of times.
I hear the word gutted a lot.
Yes.
Is that too much to say that the Voting Rights Act has been gutted?
No, it hasn't been entirely gutted, but it has been gutted. The Supreme Court in 2013 issued a decision that essentially nullified one of the most powerful provisions of the Voting Rights Act, and has since done damage to other parts of the Voting Rights Act, as have some lower courts. And I'd say we're potentially on the brink of even more damage with a few different cases that are pending before the courts now. So maybe not a complete gutting, but definitely a lot of damage done.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about what is happening with this next midterm election, questions about what the Trump administration is working on in order to undermine turnout or the way that election could go, you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Sean, here we are in Texas, and we're definitely watching our lawmakers, the Democrats who have left the state in order to block the passage of this, gerrymandered, mm-hmm. aggressively redrawn mid-decade, suddenly a snap redistricting just for the congressional districts and in order to get five additional seats out to help the Republican Party retain control of the Congress after the midterms. How big of a deal is that?
It's a really big deal. What Texas is doing is egregious. It is, as you said, mid-decade redistricting explicitly with the aim of partisan gain at the expense of voters of color and on orders from the president. It's absolutely outrageous. Gerrymandering is really bad for representative democracy. Voters should choose their politicians, not the other way around. And it also has, other effects on democracy. Gerrymanders produce fewer candidate choices for voters, so they tend to drive down participation. I mean, voters see that when the map is drawn so that the politicians get to pick their voters, not the other way around, that isn't a fair system, and they're less interested in participating in that system. And obviously, this is a problem we've been seeing around the country for some time, but what's happening in Texas right now is sort of an outlier in a number of really bad ways.
Well, there's a point I want to make, and it's probably not a huge point, but I think it's an insightful point, that if the maps were so bad that they had to be drawn in redistricting suddenly, rushing it through without a lot of public input, why just the congressional seats? Why they didn't redistrict the House seats or the state Senate seats or everything else that we have redistricting for? Just the congressional map. That point just kind of gives away the game. This is just really about party power, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and I agree with the point, but in fact, you don't really even have to go that far, because I think the politicians involved are saying it explicitly. It's on orders from the president to go get five more seats, regardless of whether that is reflective of Texas voting habits or anything else. So I think it's absolutely just sheer partisan politics of the worst kind. And but as you said at the beginning, it's only one of the things the president is ordering or directing right now that threatens our elections for the upcoming midterms. It's maybe the one that is getting a lot of attention, especially in Texas, for a good reason. But the fact is that this administration has a whole set of taken a whole set of actions and threatened additional actions to undermine our elections. And that taken together, I think if you really connect the dots and look at all of the ways that the administration is acting, there really is a sort of concerted effort here to disrupt the midterms.
So let's talk about in March of this year, President Trump issued an executive order that he said will overhaul and the way that we have elections, election systems. And he wants, and it's been the way we count votes. He's getting involved in that, even though the Constitution clearly says that this is the states have the authority to run their own elections. He's doing this executive order. And we've seen even here in Texas, Collin County, where they're going to do hand counting votes in the midterm elections. We know the hand counting of votes actually introduces more errors into elections if you can do it, because there's so many votes to be counted these days. I mean, what do you see with this executive order? Why are people thinking that this actually has teeth to it?
So the executive order is, again, one of many things the administration is doing, but it is one of the most obvious examples of the president attempting to inject himself into elections in an entirely inappropriate and unconstitutional way. So the US Constitution does not give the president any power to write the rules that govern our elections. That power, as you say, is given to the states. It is also given to Congress. The Elections Clause says that Congress can essentially overrule the states and set the time, place, and manner of federal elections. But the Constitution doesn't say anything about the president getting involved, and that's for good reason. You wouldn't want one partisan official involved in setting all of the rules to the elections that elect.
Because you would get what we have right now.
Precisely. So it is unconstitutional for the president to try to do this, but it's exactly what he's tried to do through his executive order. And that's why, right off the bat, we filed a lawsuit against this executive order, at least part of it. And right off the bat, multiple courts have entered injunctions stopping parts of this executive order. But it is, again, only one of the many things the president has tried to do to undermine our elections. The things in that executive order include, just so people understand, the president attempting to sort of enact by legislative fiat, I mean by executive fiat, what both Congress and the Texas legislature recently failed to do, which is to create a requirement that people who register to vote have to show a passport or some other document like that, in order to register. Which would, could disenfranchise millions of American citizens.
Passports are expensive.
Passports are expensive, and only about half of American citizens have them. So it is it would disenfranchise many, many Americans. The executive order also, as you say, tries to change the rules about when ballots are counted, which ballots are counted. It basically asks for decertification of voting machines across the country in a way that would be that would cause chaos and force states potentially to spend billions of dollars to buy new machines. It would wreak havoc on our elections in all kinds of ways if it were actually implemented. Thankfully, thus far, the courts have been stopping the implementation of that executive order. But they can't necessarily stop every piece of it, depending on the way that it's playing out. And, there are parts of this executive order that the Department of Justice seems to be following up on right now, sending information requests to states all over the country for personal voter information. And I think it doesn't take too much explanation to explain why it might be a problem for DOGE to be getting a bunch of personal information on voters across the country. So I think this executive order is a really bad thing, a thing that will be stopped, hopefully, in large part by courts. But again, only one piece of this plan, because in addition to the president trying to rewrite the rules that govern our elections, he's also done things to send messages to people who would subvert elections, right? Right from day one, he pardons all of the rioters on January 6th, sending a message to people who engage in that kind of, you know, violent attempt at overturning election results that this administration is going to have their back. He's trying to get Tina Peters, who's an election official in Colorado, who gave unauthorized access to voting equipment there and was convicted under state law. He's trying to get her out of prison. He's sending a very clear message. The people who help with subversion, we've got their back. On the flip side, he's sending a message to the people who make our democracy work that they have something to be worried about. He and his top officials have repeatedly threatened election officials with prosecution, you know, claimed they're going to put the people who supposedly rigged the 2020 election in prison.
So lastly, I got to take a break here. We're whizzing through a lot of really important materials. We'll go in more detail on that. Also, I have a call. Mary, I'm going to get you on the air when we come back from the break. And other listeners, if you want to call in, talk about your thoughts on this topic, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, how the election, the midterm election, a chance to change the direction of power, what's at stake. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
August is Make-A-Will Month, and if TPR has made a difference in your life, consider making it part of your legacy. Visit tpr.org/legacy to learn how easy it can be to include Texas Public Radio in your estate plans.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, Sean Morales Doyle. He is the director of the Brenham Centers for Justice's Voting Rights and Elections Program. They have released a report saying the Trump administration's campaign to undermine the next election, the executive branch is interfering in the U.S. elections in unprecedented ways. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Mary, thanks for hanging on, and you're on the air.
Thank you. I want to know, as a citizen, what can we do to support our legal people for trying to stop this from happening, the redistricting? What can we do?
Mary, thank you for calling in. Sean, what's your advice to Mary?
Unfortunately, the legislators, seem dead set on doing this thing in Texas. But at least for the moment, it's been put on pause. And so what voters in Texas can do is let their legislators know just how wrong they think this is and how much it is not what they voted for and not what they want their representatives to do. I know people think maybe that sounds, like a long shot that you're going to get someone to listen to you, but even with gerrymandered maps and other things, we do still have a democracy, and people in our legislatures are still, they do still care about what their voters think. And so particularly if you live in a district of one of the legislators who's trying to get this map passed, I would encourage you to let them know that you've got a problem with partisan gerrymanders and you don't think it's the way that it's supposed to work. You can also tell your representatives in Congress how you feel about partisan gerrymandering, because, you know, they have power over this too. I don't think it's likely that they're going to fix this problem in the current Congress. But it wasn't that long ago that the Congress came achingly close to basically providing national standards that apply to all states about how to draw their maps. And they could do that in the future. And so You know, voters need to be telling both their state representatives and their federal representatives in Congress how they feel about this, and then, you know, go out and vote. That's the way that ultimately we exercise our voices in this democracy, or one of the ways. And, you know, there are other ways, protest, et cetera. But it is really important, my view, to actually save our democracy by investing in our democracy, by participating and let our voices be heard in all of these ways. That's the only way we're going to hold on to the system that we've got.
Another caller, let's go to Sandra. Sandra? And hi, Sandra, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I want to let you know that as a Republican voter, I communicated with my state representative, my state senator, my federal representative, and my two senators in the federal government that I'm against gerrymandering, and that I believe Republicans should earn their votes. And that's the way Republicans should act. And that's the way I want, that's what I've done. And I wanted to ask if there's anything else I can do.
Well, you're doing a lot, and I appreciate that. Thank you for standing up for democracy. And Sean Morales Doyle, what do you have for Sandra?
I mean, basically, I think, Sandra, you just said you did exactly what I was recommending. So I appreciate that you are letting your voice be heard by your representatives, and that you oppose partisan gerrymandering. I hope that your representatives listen to you, and I hope more people do exactly what you're doing. But kudos to you.
Another caller. Let's go to Rick. And Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you for taking my call. I would just like to point out that Donald Trump has put off the cuts to Medicaid to pay for the big, beautiful bill tax cuts for the very, very wealthy until after the midterm elections, because he knows that if he were to cut those funds off now, people would be voting against him. But he did get the money for his signature idea of deportation and immigration. So thank you for taking my call. Appreciate your show.
All right, Rick, thank you for calling in. So let's go real quick back to the report, the Trump administration campaign to undermine the next election. Mm-hmm. Is anything in here, I mean, I saw this, that you refer to this in the report somewhere, that some of these things are, what, illegal that Trump is trying to do? Like what specifically would you say is illegal?
Well, the most obvious example is the one we've talked about.
The executive order.
The executive order itself, which has been blocked in part by a number of different courts around the country. But really, the president trying to interfere in our elections in any way is illegal because, again, he has no constitutional role there. You know, he does have the pardon power. So it wasn't illegal for him to pardon the folks from January 6th. But, you know, I made reference to the efforts to get Tina Peters out of prison in Colorado for trying to interfere with the elections there. He doesn't have any power over state prosecutions under state laws. And so that's another place where he's trying to reach and grab power where he doesn't have it. And he's directing his Department of Justice to try to follow up on that and get Tina Peters out of jail. Or there's recently reporting that the Justice Department has been telling its lawyers to find ways to prosecute election officials for, you know, perceived issues with cybersecurity, but they're not actually able to find a hook for that because there's no legal basis for it. So there are a number of ways in which this, you know, doesn't comport with our system of the rule of law.
And penalizing these law firms, that's another one.
Yes, the orders to law firms, I think, have also been stopped by courts when those law firms have challenged them. And there may be provide a blueprint for a way that the administration might try to go against others who have tried to protect democracy. And it's
like
important.
Like the media.
Right, the media, election officials, groups that do voter registration, that kind of thing. You know, Project 2025 basically suggested that the Department of Justice engage in this kind of, you know, campaign to use the criminal prosecutorial power of the federal government to go after, you know, the election officials that made our election work in 2020 and the voting groups that do voter registration. And it seems like this Department of Justice is now starting to follow through on that plan. And I think just like we've seen courts step in and say, you can't go after law firms for their speech and their association, that violates the First Amendment. Hopefully we would see the same if the administration started going after others for, say, you know, refusing to say that an election was rigged.
Or reporting the news factually.
Or reporting the news.
Let's go to Jose on the phones. Jose, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. My question is, for all the talk about Republicans saying that they want to make America great again, this is definitely detrimental to the United States and its interests abroad and at home. And my question is, can't America's enemies just say that authoritarianism is better than democracy? Because, I mean, look what the United States is doing.
All right, Jose, thank you for calling in and making that point. So we hear that from China all the time, that their system of, communist rule, authoritarianism, works better than democracy because they're able to do things that we can, I guess, apparently. So your reaction to that, Sean?
You know, I think if you asked most Americans, they would tell you that they believe in democracy and they think it's a system that works and that they don't think authoritarianism is the way that we want to go. And I think that's exactly why Americans should be worried about this campaign by the Trump administration to undermine our elections. They should be worried about a system in which the president is trying to inject himself into the way that our elections work.
And reject the voters.
Exactly, because okay. It takes the power away from the voters. And that's what people need to remember. You know, we don't have a perfect democracy. We never have. It's flawed. We need to work on it. We need to make it better. We need to push for the democracy we deserve. But I think we can all agree that we're better off if our government is responsive to the will of the people.
I think perfect democracy is an oxymoron. Let's go to Robert really quickly on the phone. And Robert, I have very short time, but you're on the air.
Yeah, I'll be very quick. Thank you for taking my call. Look, I hate what's happening. I think most of us on both parties hate. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because this administration and the MAGA Republican Party are causing such problems to our communities that both parties, both sides of the aisle are going to vote against them, and then we're going to be able to get rid of them. Because they're catering to the billionaires. They're not catering to the citizens of this country.
All right, Robert, thank you for that point. So, and Sean Morales-Doyle, does you know this that point give you some hope?
Well, so I want to be very clear that the Brennan Center is a
nonpartisan
organization. It gives
as
me
are
hope
we
people, right. It gives me hope that people see value in participating in our democracy and see that we do still have a system that we need to invest in by participating, by voting, by talking to our elected officials. I've heard that from a number of the callers today, and I really do think that's the only way we're going to hold on to the democracy that we have. It's going to take efforts from voters, from elected officials, also from election officials, from state and local law enforcement, from the courts. There are a lot of actors that are going to need to step up to make sure that this campaign to undermine our elections is not successful. But I'm happy to hear that the listeners to this show are continuing to engage in our democracy in the face of that kind of attack.
Sean Morales-Doyle is the director of the Brennan Senators for Justice, Voting Rights, and Elections Program. Sean, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you, too. Thank you.
That's The Source. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.